need some real talk. Oh, I need some real talk. Give me some of that real talk.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. Justin Kazepas with Claudia Ogrizek. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
How was the past week? Did the market completely shift, move around, completely different? Anything new?
So even though they're trying to shake things up. I don't think on the everyday life, nothing changed.
What's being shaken up right now? What's the shakeup? I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. What's up?
Well, apparently there will be some changes with how commission is paid.
Okay.
And
that will certainly affect the brokerage community as a whole and at large, but I don't think it affects you.
No, it doesn't. And I've been having the conversation with my clients just to see how they are taking it because, you know.
Do they know about it? Or like all the sellers?
Honestly, most of them have no idea. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, they're talking about news. Most of them didn't know. So I talked about it. And without any exception so far, my clients, they say, we could not do it without an agent. Like, it's way too much stuff, things we don't know and wouldn't know without an agent. Why would people do it? So I do think that after things calm down, after everything is said and done, I mean, there will be changes, and I don't know what the changes will be, but I think clients, buyers, and sellers still want help because it's too much information and too much money involved.
Can I ask you a question without you getting offended?
Try.
Okay.
You always offend everyone. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, you also speak multiple languages.
Of course.
You speak Portuguese.
Yes.
And you speak another language that's a Spanglish Portuguese that you had mentioned before that you said the name that I've already forgotten and I apologize.
Yes, so Portuguese, my language, English, your language, y'all's language. And yes, the equivalent of Spanglish, which is Portunhol.
Portunhol.
Yes, which is a mix of Portuguese and Spanish. So I can easily communicate well with Spanish-speaking people. I'm not fluent, but I can communicate well and get things done. I do plan on actually taking Spanish classes so I can be fluent and then really, really speak Spanish with them.
So for the Portuguese-speaking families that are, what are they talking about with real estate right now? Is there any cultural difference with you know, the different races and people from where they're from, everything like that? Do you think that exists?
I think I do have many Brazilian clients right now. There are many people coming, you know, expats. Do you know what an expat is?
Expats?
Mm-hmm.
Like military?
No.
Oh.
So people that are coming here, what we call them, is like people that come on a work visa. The companies bring them. So there are highly skilled people coming to America.
Yeah.
So the
specialized training, experiences,
everything.
All around
IT,
the world.
All
America's not the
stuff.
Only thing with building stuff out here.
So I have many from different countries, but of course many Brazilians because one refers to another and, you know, things keep happening. I would say Brazilians, of course, specifically, I think they are a little more like, they need a little more reassurance that everything is going to be okay and that this is how it works. They think it's too fast.
Mm.
Like, oh, you can find a house and have the keys and move in and easily in 4 weeks. And in Brazil, it takes a long
time. I'm surprised you didn't say 14 days right there.
Well, actually, I put a house on a contract on Saturday and my client said, now they're like, can you do it in 28? I'm like, 28, you can do it easily. You can do it in 21. You can do it in 14 with a loan, as long as everybody. But yeah, and in Brazil, it takes longer. So when I say, oh, you can get your keys in 4 weeks, they're like, what? So it you know, they need a little more reassurance that this is how it works, that everything is going to be okay, and especially that everybody's working for them to help them, which is, let's say, a cultural thing of like, so I can trust people. So, yeah, this is I can feel Brazilians need some Americans as well, but usually Brazilians need a little more. Are you really going to be with me?
Oh, there's plenty of people here locally that need their hands held on things.
Yeah, but I would say, in my experience, not as many. There are actually clients that it's kind of...
Makes you nervous?
Not at all. They say, you do your thing, call me when you need me. Mm. And then we get to the closing table and they're like, that's it? It was the easiest thing because they say, look, whenever you need me, just let me know and you do your thing. I trust you. Many say that, and many come to the closing table. They're like, this was oddly easy because they let me do my thing.
You love the idea of your client succeeding and living that American dream,
yes,
of getting a house. So in theory, you work with predominantly first-time homebuyers. You know what I mean?
Really? So much fun, yes. I love it.
Aren't they more needy just in general?
Not necessarily, but
no?
Even if they are, I love helping and teaching them and showing them how it works and removing the scary things that they hear in the media or from friends. And I'm like, believe me, it's not bad at all. It makes sense. Make it happen. So I love first-time buyers.
Okay.
It's my thing. I would say, of course, it's not the one that makes more money because most first-time buyers start with a start at home, and then you can give me the numbers.
That's what I was going for now, right?
But I think showing them how it works, teaching them and helping them figure things out and knowing the American dream is happening, it's pretty, pretty cool.
All right, so now we got to look at the data, right? Is the American dream alive for anybody anymore? Is it there? Is there any hope and any possibility in buying a house ever again in the local marketplace for first-time homebuyers? And let's find out. So what I'm going to do is my favorite search.
Yes, 500.
And we talk always about my favorite search. Tell me about your favorite search, too. We're going to do your favorite search today, too, at some point.
How dare you? try to find under 250.
Oh, and then, so just lower the price. Got it. Okay.
That's the challenge. 500 is still doable. It's kind of shocking to compare what 500 is now,
sure,
to pre-COVID.
Well, 500 is the new 250.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
So my favorite search that I love doing week over week, coming soon, active in Mecklenburg County, under $500,000.
Okay.
So I know how many active are coming soon, under $500,000 in Mecklenburg County.
And I don't want to cheat, so I didn't look because I could easily give you pretty much the right number. But I'm honest, I think last week we were at 900 and something.
No, we had ticked over into 1,000 last week. How much
that's
into
true.
It, though? I can't speak to that, but...
So spring market, but then we have spring break going on. So maybe the same number.
Dang, you're good. It's the same number.
Really?
It's 1,048. It's like literally like I was thinking, I'm going to say this is the number.
Should have Excel spreadsheet keeping track of every week.
Let's start right here. You got a notebook. 1,048. Here, I'll give you. Do you have a pen? You don't have. There we go. All right. 1,048. Today's Real Talk focused on North Carolina real estate. Really just trying to work through a Monday, maybe more than anything. First time homebuyers, I guess, are even welcome around here. I don't know about that. You say something in Portuguese. You got 7 seconds.
Voltamos em alguns instantes.
Today's Real Talk. The show focused on North Carolina real estate. Hanging out with Claudio Grizik of Compass Real Estate. Has Compass taken an official... No, I'm not going to... You thought I was going to make you be like sometimes. You don't have to speak for your brokerage. You're not the broker in charge.
I'm not the broker in charge. But honestly, and I don't want to talk about it, but I will talk about it, not to talk about it. It's way too early. It's not even set in stone. So I think let the attorneys do their job. I'm not going to come here and say that I have the actual ability to get a lawsuit with 100 and some pages and really understand what it's saying.
Does that sound exciting to you to read that kind of thing? Like when you read, do you like articles, deep knowledge based stuff?
Yes and no. The thing is, actually, if I mean, I would be a realtor, but college-wise, as a background, if I could go back in time, I would have been a lawyer.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what kind of criminal? You would have been locking people up.
Probably.
You
would have
been locking them up.
I don't know. I don't think I would work as a lawyer. I would. It's kind of the same thing as the GC that I want to be one day. I know it's kind of weird, but I would like to be an attorney to help people that can't, and I know it's weird, people that can't afford one. Like, I would probably work pro bono and just help them understand, interpret, and get the fare, whatever they
Such
need.
Such a purist. Such a purist.
Know, so weird.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So one day, who knows, I'll be an attorney, a GC, you name it. If they try to end my real estate career, if they want to get away with realtors, I'll be either a detective, an attorney, or a GC,
brokers
or all of them.
Brokers are too essential to the marketplace, especially, and that's the interesting part, in this type of market, more so now, it appears for buyers, it's more complicated than it's ever been because of, for what we've used for good, technology, major opportunities to systemize everything in real estate. And now that's coming to be more of a seller has a lot of control in this scenario.
Yep.
And buyers know nothing about a process that likely is the most expensive thing they'll ever purchase in their life.
I am 100% with you. And someone said it as a kind of jokingly, but I think it's pretty serious. Someone said, okay, so people that get 30 or 40% of whatever is agreed on a lawsuit are complaining about the real estate money being made. So they're complaining about the 5, 6, 7, whatever percentage, but they get 30 or 40% of the lawsuit. Like how fair is that?
Right.
And not only that, if you really think about it, oh, the sellers are getting money. They're not. Because the seller is getting, if money, what, how much would the final seller would get at the whole end of the whole mess that they are causing?
I don't think prices go down based on this in the sense of
No, but I mean
sales,
now with the lawsuit. So, oh, 400 million no. sellers are getting. Sellers are not getting that.
No,
they
you gotta
will
apply,
get a little
you gotta
change.
Say
or,
that you
yes.
were hurt and you, all this stuff.
Yes.
Right. I do think there has to become more intentionality, though. Will listing brokers feel the pain at all? Because if not, they're less likely to clarify things at the table with a seller, I believe.
I think there will be a change, but there will be a change. And I do know that some agents that only, they're only listing agent, they are kind of like, ho, ho, they're bragging. It's going to change for them as well. For number one, market value of houses. When we do a CMA, when we list, we know both commissions are, you know, the commission is being split, but whatever.
Splat.
Splat, is it? I don't know. See, sometimes I get like, oh my God, what is the word? Whatever. You get it. Shared by both sides. So if you're not sharing, why would, you know, just remove market value? Because you're not paying as much. So prices come down. It's the same thing when you have a for sale by owner. Let's say two houses that are identical in the same neighborhood, very similar condition. You know, one with an agent, one for sale by owner. If I'm a buyer getting the for sale by owner, I will not pay full price because I know that one has the agents, one does not. I'm not going to give the seller. Why would I give? Like, I want to save my money as well. So the seller is saving money on the commission. But if I'm the buyer, I'm like, yeah, you're not paying commission. You don't get to keep all the money. I'm not going to pay as much for your house. And that's why, I don't know the exact number, but it's, I don't remember. I should, and maybe you can check during the
what
break.
What would you like me to Google?
Google how much less on average a for sale by owner makes versus listing with an agent. I know they make, like most for sale by owners don't net as much money as they would have listing with an agent. After paying commission, after paying everything, most for sale by owners don't make as much money. And I thought about checking the number, but I forgot.
This is the top part of the page on google.com. The search term was price difference for sale by owner versus realtor.
Okay.
came up with a little snippet of Orchard.com, FSBOs, F for sale by
Fizbos,
owners.
Fizbos, yes.
Fizbos. Homes typically sell for much lower prices than realtor-assisted homes.
Yeah. But do you have a number, like a percentage or something that proves my point?
There is another line here that okay. I can read. Fizbo homes sold at a median of $310,000 in 2022, whereas agent-assisted sales had a median price of
$405,000.
Okay. So that's a, what, figure call it 33%?
Yeah. And even if you think about the net amount, meaning what is transferred to the seller's bank account at the end, it's much lower if you are a FSBO. Because
you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. So many people brag, oh, I sold my house, you know, for sale by owner. And you don't know how much you would have made with an agent. And you probably made less money because you don't have the same exposure. Friday, I had an open house. This lady came, a neighbor. Neighbors love to come to open houses and spy on the houses. Mm. And it's fine.
No,
I don't mind
they
it.
Don't come up in there like that still, do they?
But she was bragging that she was for sale by owner, but she didn't really sold the house. So an agent brought a client, was paid mm-hmm. commission. Mm-hmm. And I know she was talking to me, describing the house. And I'm like, she could have made more money. So.
Because you know the numbers?
I can, yes.
Do you do a CMA, like basically before you go see any property ever? Like it?
No.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
I don't. And I, especially if I have buyers, they know that with me. I have many clients at the same time, and I'm very happy about it. And I know for a fact that sometimes, let's say we're going to look at five houses, and because it happens very often, we get to a house, and like in the foyer, they're like, nope.
This is it.
They hate the smell. They hate whatever.
They It'd be steakhouse.
And they're like, sometimes flooring in pictures look away, and when, you know, look a certain way, and then we get to the house, and it's a little different. Because, of course, not that agents should Photoshop or change much, but you know, pictures should look better. And way too often people, nope. Or we park in front of the house and they hate the house across the street. I actually tell my clients, get the little Google man and walk around the street before we actually schedule it. And then if they like a house, then I do the CMA. And I joke, I'm going to be a little mean right now. Sorry, but I'm like, if your agent, it's how I feel. If your agent has showings with you, let's say four houses, and they have the whole thing and they know all the prices, this agent has no clients. Because if they have the time to prepare CMAs and study and learn everything about a house that your clients might say no in 5 seconds, you don't really have tons of clients and you have time. Like, I don't have time to study a bunch of houses that I don't even know if my clients, because it's a fact, most clients will look at a few houses or many houses, depending on how.
After the hundreds online already too, by the way,
yes.
You're talking about physically present
and
even in a home.
I've had way too many times. So right in the beginning of my career, I'm like, I'm not, because of course in the beginning, you want to do the whole thing. So I would, and I wasn't as busy, of course. So I had the time to study and prepare. And then I started seeing, oh my God, oh, I hate the neighbor across the street. Oh no, there's a school bus stop is in front of the house. No way.
Nothing to do with numbers. People
nothing
did,
to do nothing. With the numbers, nothing to do with the house. Or, I mean,
they got grape jelly, not strawberry. We're out of here.
Yes, I should maybe start another list here on my notebook about reasons why people don't want a house. And some of them are like, all kinds of things. But yeah, you just basically, if you had prepared the whole thing, you just wasted an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, because clients are like, nope, I don't want to do it.
See, but here comes the part with the experience that I'll push back on you on. You know numbers very well. You have numbers memorized right now. How much does it cost for somebody to get in a house right now? What do you think? How much sales price do you think you got to afford to buy a decent house in the Lake
Where?
Norman marketplace?
Oh.
Lake Norman market.
What is decent?
You tell me. Would you let your daughter live in it? Would you let your family live in it? You tell me. And Lake Norman.
Not on the water, of course. Like a
Lake Norman.
Oh, 200,000. No.
No.
I'm kidding.
You really can't. You used to be able to. That's funny, but that's the funny thing is you used to be able to.
I think
you used to be able to live in Huntersville for $200,000.
Like a decent
Cornelius
doable house, unless you're super, you know, demanding. Not easy, so you have to use the whole strategy in terms of due diligence fee, closing, but I think you can buy a house for 400, like a 3 or 4 bedroom house for 450.
Okay.
Not
so
perfect.
About 500,000. So yes. 500 is kind of
yes.
safe
can, you
bet.
Can do, yes, I believe so.
And is that from, real quick, you know, that's okay. 10 seconds. Is it been a downturn of cash versus loan?
I don't think so.
Now I'll give you 5 seconds. Still cash. Ah.
Today's Real Talk continues now. Here are your hosts, Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. You listened to the conversation this morning that Mames and I were having about roof replacements.
Yes.
We talked about insurance.
No, but before, let me say something, because there was just the thing, the Bloomberg about the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time, it's just a silly thing because I just heard it and I heard the show this morning.
Oh, talking about Chick-fil-A and the chicken.
Yeah. So the first time as a tourist coming here, you know, I knew Burger King, I knew McDonald's. And then one day I saw this weird one. I had no idea. Chick-fil-A. And I don't know how long it took me to hear someone say Chick-fil-A. But for me, I read it Chick-fil-A, and now I do it just to tease people, and I still call it Chick-fil-A.
Are you saying right now that that this morning's morning show helped you learn the name of Chick-fil-A?
No, I knew it, but you know, years ago when I saw it for the first time,
Chick-fil-A,
and I didn't understand the cow need more chicken. I was completely it made no sense, and then I think when I moved here, almost 10 years
Chick-fil-A.
Ago, I finally learned it was a big thing.
You can call it whatever you want. Let me be clear about that too.
I do. I call it Catawba Avenue. I go against
get it.
Everything. So many times I
say Jatun. Can you say Jatun?
On, yes.
No, Jatun.
Jatun.
There you go.
Yeah,
like ton, like 2,000 pounds.
Jatun. Okay. Is this the right? Because I know
that's
you
the right.
And
no, I know. Yeah, I know. No, I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not pulling your leg right now.
No, but I say Catawba on purpose.
I like that one.
Chick-fil-A.
I like. I really like Chick-fil-A right now. I'm really vibing with
that. All
the
names I make up, and I love when people correct me but I do mistakes. What did I just say? No, the splat.
Sure.
Sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what, which is again, I can speak more than one language, so I am ahead of most.
15 different languages is what it takes to be a broker, though, right? To be able to speak probably 30 different languages.
I think it really helps because...
And I'm not talking about coming from different nations. I'm talking about in the transaction and being able to help. And like,
yes.
You got to be able to talk to 30 different types of vendors and deal with all these coordinating points, and they all speak their own language that you have to be the nucleus of.
Yes, yes, 100%. And not only that, each client has their own, and this is something that... Maybe I should also do psychology. I love the human nature. I love not analyzing, but watching people and trying to cater to their style. You know, people that are very number oriented or people that are super relaxed, people that are afraid of everything. And it fascinates me because each client is different. So you can't just be like a machine and treat them the same because they're all different. And I think this is one of the good things about me is that I appreciate the differences and I kind of embrace them.
Sure.
And I think people that have trouble doing that might not do as well.
One of the aspects you got to deal with is roof replacements. And that's where we started this whole segment with was
that
the roof replacements.
Yes.
And we were talking about State Farm and how they don't replace roofs. You said you got a roof replacement story you're dealing with right now or something like that?
It's over. We closed on the house and I had the buyers And we had actually two companies come, and they could clear. I saw the report with clear pictures of damage by hail and everything else. And the sellers tried to get the roof replaced by the company, and they said no. Was it Allstate? I think it was Allstate, which is something now that I'll double check when, you know, maybe on during
that's
the break.
Okay. Like I said, State Farm is tough to get roof replacements too.
State Farm. I'm 90% sure it's State Farm.
Mm.
So now if it is, I'll double check. I'll make sure my clients are, my buyers are aware that they might not get coverage using them.
Well, and to be clear, and this is what I did say on the morning show, because I don't want to say like State Farm's not out here giving people coverage. I'm talking about the concept of what's included in your policy. State Farm is very strict on single incident needing roof replacement. That's what your insurance policy covers. You got a big old tree that falls down, knocks your roof down, right? Like it's not, oh, they don't give coverage. But when they look at a report and they see, for example, hail damage, which is very common around here, right? Like in the sense of multiple years in a row, we have hail in our area. And so 15 years into a life cycle of a roof, 20 years into a life cycle of a roof, seeing that many years worth of hail damage, okay, is over time added to it. And that's how they look. I say, no, that's wear and tear over time. That's not a single incident enough to cover.
Yeah. So now because of that, and I had a listing a few months ago, I mean, we were able to replace it before closing. So it was a win-win for everyone. But because of that issue, because when I had the listing, the buyers couldn't get home insurance coverage. And without home insurance, they wouldn't get the loan approved. So we had to deal with that. And then now I had the clients, buyers going through the same thing. So I added, whenever I'm going to list the house that I get the the agreement or whatever, or the conversation starts, I have one of my, actually we could have him here and talk about it.
Okay.
I'm going to have one of my roof guys do an inspection before we even hit the market. So before we do anything, see if there's damage, see if we can get it done even before listing, because then it's awesome because you have a brand new roof. So I can advertise it as a new roof, which also makes
helps
the house
the
more, of course.
Gets you more money.
And we avoid the possible issue because even though shingles, you know, the newer ones are 30-year roof.
30-year architectural?
30-year architectural,
right,
yes. I know that many insurance companies are not covering if your roof is more than 10 years old, which is ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So it's one of my, the same way I told you, for my buyers now, I give my buyers the whole estimate ready to go with Specwo. I'm going to have
on the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a roof inspected before we even hit the market to see if there will be a claim and take care of it before pictures, before market, before anything. I think it's very important because it's happening way too often that roof has been a problem during the transaction.
I'm sure there's been multiple, every time it's in an inspection report, right? A buyer's probably got a trip a little bit on the roof's the roof needs replacing.
The problem is not even the buyer, because many times it's an older roof, it has some damage, so it's fine. There's no active leak, there's nothing, but then the homeowner's insurance won't cover it. And that will stop. It's not the buyer saying, oh, I freak out with the roof. It's the fact that they can't get coverage, and without the coverage, the bank won't give them the money. That's the main thing. It's not the actual buyers or the actual sellers. It's the lack of coverage for us to be able to close.
Do you think that rising insurance rates will make the market even harder for buyers?
197% sure. Yes. And it's happening already. I mean, in Florida, it's crazy. I don't know how long it's going to take to hit us, but it's happening. I have clients coming from Florida basically because of homeowners insurance, $10,000-$15,000 a year just in homeowners insurance. So it's like $1,000 a month for homeowners insurance. And then you get HOA fees and the mortgage itself. It's crazy. So people are running away from Florida and they might not even get coverage. So now it's very expensive. Some companies, some areas are not getting covered anymore. So how can you, and then they're moving here. And I think the homeowner insurance companies will come after everyone. They try to change, and I think it wasn't approved a few months ago.
The interesting part for them, this is getting deep in the weeds on some insurance right now.
We don't want anyone crying, okay? It's a heavy.
But the insurance companies are claiming that of how costly it is to now replace and all that. And it's a Ponzi, right? Like, let's be honest. Like, insurance is the accepted Ponzi that exists. Health insurance.
Yes.
Homeowners insurance, business, you got to keep feeding into the pot to make the thing work. But for buyers in the marketplace, is there a way? There's not a way. I'm trying to think, is there any way to save the transaction in the sense of dependent on that?
No, because unless they have cash, they depend on the loan, and the loan depends on homeowners insurance.
And then so for cash here locally?
Yes.
Is cash still dominating the scene, do you think? Or how is that? Is that pulling back a little bit?
I think it's a little calmer now than it was. I think it's, even though the interest rates are high, I think cash is still big, but not a huge thing. But it's big and it wins. Most people still want like a multiple offer situation. No matter how strong the buyer is with a loan, sellers will choose cash.
Mm, I like this future talk. You know, it's getting warmer outside. It's supposed to be like 80 degrees by Easter.
That's
pretty crazy. Let's look forward in the market. Let's make up some predictions. Let's just shoot some shots.
Let's do it.
Okay, today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. Justin Gazeb is hanging out with Claudia Ogrizek with Compass Real Estate.
Stay with us. Today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazefis will be back after these messages on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. We're back with more of today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazefis on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
For buyer by owner.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. Try to figure out, so it's first sale by owner. Is it for buyer buying, by buyer?
I guess.
FBBB? Yeah, F triple B?
We should create a copyright.
TM.
A new... It's the world changing. Let's create, and then make some money, you know, using a new expression, buyers, unrepresented buyers, UB, whatever.
So for the F triple Bs that you will still be representing, even though there's a settlement taking place for the NAR and commission stuff and all this other kind of thing.
Yes.
Where in the marketplace do you think buyers will find the most success?
I don't understand the question.
What segment? New construction right now is the hottest.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay.
Where can buyers, do you think, in the future, when this commission thing succeeds, how will they find success? What are the niches they'll find success in?
Maybe hitting for sale by home. Hard. Oh,
going back? Yes. Go battle?
Yeah. So for sale by owner, their agent comes, like, hey, I have a ready, willing, and able buyer. Do you want to sell your house? And... That could be a great idea.
Because for sale by owners typically offer 3% to a buyer's broker. And again, I'm making up a number.
Offer,
there's,
yes.
There's no
say,
standard.
There's no number.
No, there's no number.
But some of them offer, and if they don't offer, you can request.
Yeah.
Just making sure you're not going to work for them. So don't think that just because I'm being paid that I'm going to work for you. Because I represent the buyer, not you.
Mm. Do you think sub-agency comes around? Like as far as someone going out talking to a buyer, but really in actuality representing a seller based on the agency agreement, and that's
honestly
the way that they can get a commission?
I think that, you know, the names are there and the agreements, but I honestly think that, no, I don't think in real life that happens too often at all. I think either you represent the buyer or you represent us in everyday life, either one of them, or sometimes you are a duo. Some people, I don't do it. I've done it twice, but it was very cute. I basically did it, even though I'm like against it, but my clients wanted me to get all the money. So they said, do not refer me. Like, and I explained what was happening. I said, if you represent both sides, I can't protect or lean toward, like, all I do is collect information, make it happen. Of course, with honesty and everything I can, and you know I provide, but without, and they, in those two situations, they said, please do it. You deserve all the money, so keep all the money in it. We're fine. But I avoided most of the times, but it was very cute when they wanted me to do it.
Was it you or it may have been me. I can't remember. Either you planted the idea in my head or it came from somewhere else. Limited service listings, limited service representation. Do you think that increases? Because like little preset packages, I'll be your broker for this, this. Here, give me $799.
It's happening. I see it often. I don't understand it. I'm against it. Maybe this, like I'm super against it.
You're full service or nothing.
Yeah. Or don't be a realtor and go, I don't know, be a wholesaler. But if you want to be a realtor, you want to do the whole thing, and maybe we won't be realtors anymore. You know, realtors per se,
no,
we're going to be brokers.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a professional broker or a realtor for now, if you don't want to do the whole thing, don't be an agent. Go be a wholesaler and try to make money some other way. Like, don't use MLS. Don't use all the resources. Don't pay all the money we pay to sell yourself short. And because every single time I found a limited service or called the sale, can I say suck on the radio? It sucks. Because it's like, oh, this is a limited service. Call the seller. And the sellers don't answer the phone. Like, so they don't sell the house because they don't answer the phone. Or they get upset, or they don't want to allow you to show the house. So I'm like, what are you doing on MLS? Like, get out of MLS if you're not really ready to sell. So I am 100%. Instead of bugging everyone with the buyer agent, eliminate the wholesalers or whatever you call them, limited service on MLS.
Mm.
There, I said it.
I mean, you can say whatever you want. Yeah. I welcome the...
I don't know if you can tell that I'm very passionate about
Are
what
you?
I do.
I thought you were one of the most passive people I've ever met in my life.
I just don't like people that don't take it seriously.
Mm.
And I think limited services don't take it seriously.
Well, it's an opportunity to make money.
Well, yeah. But then again, going back to...
I'm not gonna make you cry. You're not gonna. No, okay.
Not.
You're getting mad at me right now.
No, I'm getting mad. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at those people because, again, if you are a realtor and if you are an agent, you have code of ethics and things you have to follow. But when you just throw a listing on MLS, you are not working for your seller. You're not doing the best for your client. So you shouldn't be there.
See, and by make you cry, I meant like last week you get in this whole, this is where you're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Look, you're literally about to cry because
no,
you get
I'm
this
not.
Where you,
Give
in
me,
your mind.
Yeah, we need to move that
no,
tissue
this is,
box
this is what
right
you, let me get them. Look, because this is what you do. You get in your mind, you got some buyer or some seller that
yes.
you helped and it changed
yes.
their life and
yes.
it was
Stop.
A deeply emotional
no
connection
purpose.
And you cried last week I'm not going to be the bad guy this week.
I was going to bring you some chocolate next week after Easter, but now
oh,
I'm
please
not
do.
Anymore, no.
Will it be Brazilian chocolate?
That's what the
no.
idea was, I swear.
Oh, I just ruined my
so
chances.
So now just change the whole thing. You're not getting
anything. I got you a tissue box.
You're not getting anything. And don't forget, it's my anniversary.
That is. 10 years.
Oh, crazy.
10 years since you came to America.
10 years since I came to America. And 10 years since I quit my job, my lousy job, and became a full-time broker. Like April 1st was the day, the weekend before I told my husband, can I do it? Like, are you ready? I have no idea what's going to happen. And he said, go for it. And it's going to be 7 years, April 1st. So it's our anniversary, what I consider moving in together, moving to America, and just becoming a full-time broker. It's a big day.
How could I get, like, balloons?
I think, yes, get this whole thing. And I think I'm going to come with, a party dress or and have,
really?
Like, a fancy hat
Will it be
or
green?
Something. probably.
Like debutante, like going to the horse track kind of look?
Kind of, yes.
Let me ask you this. So there's at some point, I don't know the full details of it, that a talk of a horse track coming to Northside Iredell County.
Okay.
Would that be cool?
Not Lake Norman area.
Well, that's Lake Norman.
I know, I'm just teasing.
Oh, it's like, yeah, that to me it is. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you are very generous about your...
But here's the thing. As it continues growing, right, that means that...
If I throw water, Hickory.
Hickory is Lake Norman adjacent.
Okay.
Lake Norman adjacent.
And Statesville is not.
Statesville is Lake Norman.
Because you get a little bit of the lake. Okay.
You get a little sniffle. Okay. You get a little sniffle of it. I can say that word, there is snipple.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I try to listen to the word of the day, and I'm like, in the morning, and I try to what is it? Actually, I got it right this morning. I kind of knew it was forced or tricked, or I got it with his example.
Do you pregame before you go into a listening appointment? Do you listen to a jam song in the car or something, get something going?
No.
What do you do?
I try to not think about it, so I am as relaxed and real as possible.
Do you put on silent meditation sounds?
I don't do anything. I try, and I know it's kind of crazy because I know people have the whole thing rehearsed. I'm the opposite. I don't rehearse. And again, I'm going to be I don't even bring anything.
You just say.
I don't bring papers. I don't do anything. I come and I say, this is me.
I can sell your house.
Because I want people to not feel pressured and like me and choose to hire me. So I don't say, hey, let's sign right now, like a gym membership kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't bring any papers. If they like me, then we start working on the stuff. And
do you use a lot of technology, like e-signatures and that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. Do you DocuSign, Dotloop, or Compass has something, I would imagine,
yes.
Or something?
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine some kind of platform.
Yeah, we do. We do have e-sign, but some clients don't like it.
Sure.
Older clients, and it's fine.
I'm starting to like paper more.
I went back. I go back with the paper if that's the case, but I don't bring anything. No, it's crazy, and it's been working. I'm okay with that. Because I want people to say, hey, we want you to represent us. So I come and I say, look, if you're interested, I'm going to get everything ready. I mean, of course, I have an idea of how much the house will be listed for, but I don't know if the house will be, falling apart or completely renovated. So I look at the previous listing. I have an idea of price, but I don't bring anything. And if they look, if you want to, now I'll send you the whole thing and you hire me or not. And can't complain. it works. Most of the times it works.
All right. Favorite market right now in the local area? What's got you? You still on Belmont?
I love Belmont. Favorite to make money in the future?
Sure.
I would say Kannapolis and Salisbury. That's...
Oh.
If you have the time, buy and wait.
Kannapolis and Salisbury. Mm-hmm. That's your
Rockwell.
Bet for the future. Rockwell. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rockwell.
Buy and hold. And thank me later.
Dang.
Or even better, buy with me. And thank me later.
Claudia Ogrizek with Compass Real Estate.
Yes.
Also, YouTube sensation. People should check out your YouTube.
Check my YouTube, yeah.
But first, go to your Instagram to follow to
Instagram.
Your YouTube.
Yes, I do Instagram every day.
Facebook.
Instagram is every day. I'm working on my YouTube.
Do you TikTok?
I'm too old for that. No.
It's only a number. Don't let them do you like that.
I don't have the patience. I see my daughter doing it. I'm like, oh, no. I get dizzy. No.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Well, thanks for hanging with me.
Thank you for having me.
You actually came back.
It's been a month already?
Weren't we going to talk about the horse track?
Yeah.
Something was going to come up with it. Maybe next week. Oh, we got Dr. Chu next week.
Yes.
UNCC's Childress Klein School of Real Estate Director.
That would be.
It's kind of like the
nice
godfather of numbers in Charlotte.
If you talk about numbers, that's the guy.
2023 housing report that they put together. We'll talk about that data.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.